Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
How are you? What's your name? Saif.
Saif is my name.
Welcome.
How are you?
Welcome back from the world tour. Are you back?
Yeah. I'm here for a minute, resting.
And then what?
Next stop is Aspen for the X Games. Well, Denver, then Aspen for the X Games.
What are you doing for the X Games? A little DJing?
Denver is a party for Burton Snowboards.
Well, that's a relationship you created on your own a long time ago.
A while ago, yeah. And then it's connected with this new Monster deal that I got. So Monster, I'm officially a Monster Energy DJ.
What does that even mean?
Checks.
Really?
Pond checks.
That sounds pretty good.
That's, like a brand ambassador type of thing, like.
Is that why before you got the deal, you would just randomly take pictures with Monster and it?
I was working an angle.
I mean,
You
brought it with you. You brought a Monster here.
Yeah.
Did you? That was your own choice. I'm guessing.
Oh, here I had one here.
Yes.
Did I take a picture?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta put that up. Yeah. So, now I'm like an official Monster DJ. I got my first event is the X Games, and then after that I'm going to Hawaii.
What do you? That's amazing. Why are you going to Hawaii?
There's some big like. Festival thing. I'm not quite sure what it is, but.
And that's all from them?
Yeah, it's Monster. So I like go on the road, I go to certain gigs for them. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
That's pretty good. I'm not getting money like you.
Yo, I borrow? Don't worry, it's not that much. Yo, real quick, I want to shout out the Impractical Jokers, man.
The crews?
Yo, these dudes, you ever met any of them?
No, I've never, not, okay,
the
not
most,
at all.
The coolest one that I'm friends with is Sal. He's from Staten Island. Super hip-hop head, into comedy. Used to own a bar in Staten Island where they did like comedy shows and other stuff, right? That's not how I know him. I just know him recently. But super cool dude.
Okay.
The other guys are all cool too, but they're not as... Like, Sal's the most like hip-hop.
Got it.
I did a show with them in Camden, New Jersey. 6,000 people.
Camden. That place is, what's the word? Repug.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Camden. It's really like a Philly show, but it's like outside.
It's just where the venue is.
6,000 people. Fucking fans. Crazy.
You told us this last time.
All right, but now the cruise, though.
Right.
Now it's 2,000 people, you know, engaging with them, not just... Watching a 2-hour show, like a 4 or 5 day cruise with the Jokers running around,
and the Jokers are on the boat.
Yo,
by the way, I gotta
like
tell you, that's
superstars, yo.
Well, they have a TV show and they have a fan base.
Yeah, but it's like, I know a lot of dudes have TV shows that
no one watches.
That there's not. Okay, I went on the road with Michael Che from SNL. There was no pandemonium for him.
No.
It was like, you're SNL fans. You liked his comedy.
That's
there was people afterwards wanting to take pictures.
Some. Some
These
would
guys
take a picture.
Can't walk around the fucking boat. They have security. They have bodyguards.
Well, keep in mind, but Saif, these are the as we say in the radio business, these are the P1s that went to the boat ride.
Yes.
Like the most hardcore. But you're just saying the level to which they love it. And how much was the boat? Probably not cheap.
No, I don't know, but
how long did you travel for?
From Monday, then came home Friday.
Oh, so you're talking about you spent at least, someone spent $1,000.
More than that, yeah.
Maybe more.
I mean, a cabin, I think, was like 2,000 or 1,700, something like that. Like, it's fucking insane, yo.
And the show's not like, the numbers for the show aren't like huge, right?
Yo, my friend, actually, this girl I know works on the crew. She said
you
they
fucked.
Had a
there's
meeting.
A chick you fucked.
Nah, I wish. She's nice.
Really?
Too. They had a meeting about like how to deal with the super fans. And as soon as they had the meeting, she steps out of the meeting, and there's a woman like, excuse me, do you work for the Jokers? I didn't sign up for the meet and greet. I fucked up. I was in the hospital. My whole life has been shit the last 3 years. The only thing that's made me get even close to being somewhat happy is Impractical Jokers. I have to meet them, please. She was on the cruise by herself to meet them.
Hold on. First of all, shut up. Second of all, I want to thank our friends at Squarespace.
Oh, Squarespace.
You know what I'm talking about?
Tell you about Squarespace.
Tell me about Squarespace.
My mom
just
left her job and is starting a new business down in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And it's called Squarespace.
It's Squarespace. You make with no. She's starting this like she's designing, you know, what she did, you know, designing homes and not interior design. Yeah, interior design, not decorating, design. So she designs how your place looks, and she's working with these contractors and these real estate agents. So she's already got some clientele. And I said, Ma, you got to set up your website. Squarespace.
Did you send her to squarespace.com?
She's building it now.
Did she use the code one app?
My mom is... She doesn't know how to work a Polaroid camera, yo. But she's She's building a site on Squarespace.
Did she use the code one app?
Of course.
All right. If you use the code one app with Squarespace, they'll give you 10% off, the best place ever to build a website. Plus, they hold us down at Juan Epstein. So shout out to Squarespace. Over there right now. Oh my God, are you kidding? You get over to Squarespace, you build your website. It's super easy. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Saif, did you see that this week? I was not ready to announce it, and I'm not going to go into the details about it quite yet, but Mike Tyson went on Twitter and announced that we're doing a podcast.
That's crazy. I did not see that.
So I guess that's happening.
Yeah.
So the details are still, you know, to be worked out, although I have recorded a bunch.
You're going to be on it with him?
I'm his co-host. He's really my co-host, let's be honest about it.
How many podcasts do you have?
60. This will be my last one. I'm done now.
Three. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm done. I'm retiring. This is enough. There's no more podcasts to do. I do this one. I do Cheap Heat Wrestling every week, and now I'll do Mike Tyson.
What about Joe Button?
I don't have. I mean, two things. One, I never go. Second of all, I don't even take money from it. So all I do basically now is nothing. I need to just give them the thing. I don't do anything.
Right.
I don't know why. You know why?
I don't know why.
Because I started being involved, and when Joe was such a dick, I realized I was like, I don't want to be responsible for anything with you because I like you, and you're gonna end up hating me, yeah. And you're gonna call
That's why I hate you.
Exactly. But it's different because imagine if like you and I just split everything down the middle. If I was doing something with him where he thought he did everything, but I was just collecting money,
right.
He'd hate my guts.
Yeah,
like it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So even though I've gotten him advertisers, our guy Eric, who does our advertising,
yeah.
He gets advertising for Joe.
Right.
From me. We put him in his first studio with Ant. I still haven't taken any money. But I'm just moving on. Because I just don't...
I mean, I get why, but I don't know.
It's stupid. But at the same time, that's the thing. Saif, this is what you and I... Don't we always talk about this, though? Like, you either decide to sort of get... You either get kind of pushed around and you're the nice guy, or you're sort of thought of as a dick and you get your money.
Yeah.
There's probably a middle ground that I'm not good at. No, but it's hard.
It's a very small middle ground.
Right? Like even with me and you with this podcast, at different points, we do different things. It is what it is. It's 50-50. It's we're two guys. That's it. It's very easy. There's nothing really to think about.
Yeah.
So it's hard when I'm like, oh, well, I mean, what is that worth that I put you in the studio that I helped get, you know?
I mean, this is what a deal is.
I know.
This is what a pre...
That's why you set up deals.
Yeah, you set up a deal, but then, I mean, I guess things change in the middle, and you have to readjust, but this is where, like, record companies signing artists, you know, I'm popping in the streets, but we have the money to fund you, so we're going to give you this amount, yeah, but I'm hotter than, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
weird.
A lot of rigmarole.
And I got to be honest, I'm going to have to figure out the whole, the Tyson thing, which is, I'm super excited about it. It's a dream come true in my life.
That's insane.
It's insane that it happened.
Yeah.
When you think
Congrats,
about it.
Congrats, by the way.
Thank you.
Congrats.
It's amazing. Very excited. But like, there'll be a financial part to figure out.
Yeah.
Because all due respect to our podcast, that podcast should be able to make real big money, you would think.
Yeah.
But obviously he's the name that's the draw.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be sort of the organizational force behind it.
When are you supposed to record this?
We've actually done a bunch.
Oh.
We've done many, and they're very good. But now I'm thinking...
Wow, that's dope, man.
I mean, listen, once the business is all done, I got to tell you something crazy. Juanito, who... How would you describe... Have you watched Making a Murderer?
Not to the end.
But you've seen it.
He's the nephew?
He's like the nephew, right?
What was that kid's name?
Dassey. Brendan Dassey.
Yeah.
That's like Juanito's level of intelligence, right? Like,
What is it? I don't know what to do.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, well.
Well, I just said it. I guessed it. Yeah?
Yeah, but if you didn't do it, you didn't do it.
Well, they said I did it.
But you didn't do it, yeah?
I'm going to punch you in the nose, you big turkey.
Don't call me a turkey. You're not the turkey. No, the saddest part was when he goes, they said something inconsistent. Yeah. I don't know what's inconsistent.
Yeah.
She's like, me neither. I'm like, okay. I was like,
yeah, all right. That's, all
anyway, right, so Juanito, Brendan Dassey of Jace, had an idea the other day that I'm not going to give out here. about the release of that podcast. To make a long story short, I'm not going to say what it is, but I took what he said and I kept thinking about it.
10% Got it.
No, you get nothing. And I thought...
Hold on. What do you want 10% of? The release? You want 10% of your... what do you think is... What are you monetizing? What 10% of what? Of... Hey, you're having a release. I want 10% of your release idea.
I'll give you 10% of my release right now. I'll give you 100% of my release in your fucking face. You piece of shit.
This got crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
But let me put it this way. It made me think, like, with the level of celebrity Tyson is and how interesting his story is, his own story is, I don't think we have to do it the same stupid way that you and I do this podcast and the way that I do Cheap Heat. I think it could be much more organized and not as many episodes. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mike Tyson doesn't... We have to drop 52 a year so people don't forget to hate us. Right, I mean, forget to listen to us.
Yeah.
I think with him, you don't have to give away that much.
What is the podcast?
It's basically me getting him to talk about, like, the stories of his life.
Okay.
With guests.
That's what I'm saying. Is there guests?
Yeah. So, like, we recorded one this weekend, too. We did one with Lennox Lewis. Which obviously, they've known each other since they were 16. Mike said he was going to eat his children. He bit his leg at a press conference. They had a fight, you know. So that had just and they sparred 30 years before that.
Right.
So he told that whole story. And then
the guy was there.
He came in, and then
they're friends now.
Yeah, like they're cool.
Yeah.
And then we did Russell Simmons also,
I saw that.
And Russell and Mike was mostly just drug talk.
Really?
Just fucking drug talk. Like, what about when we did blah, blah, blah? And let's, would you ever do blah, blah, blah? So, like, everyone has a different thing.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, both Tyson and Russell Simmons both had David Bowie stories. So, I think every episode, though, should be evergreen. I don't think Mike needs to talk about current events. I think it should just be stories of his life. I don't think you need, like, let's talk about what happened this week.
You don't have to force it. If it happens, it happens.
Exactly. So, by that token, you don't necessarily have to drop every single week. Although, honestly, like, we don't really ever have to do... We don't ever cover current events. We did one episode in the last 6 months when we did the Meek and Drake episode where we just talked about basically Meek and Drake for, like, half of it. That was, like, the only time.
Yeah?
Hmm?
Yeah?
Well, why'd you do it then? If you didn't do it, why'd you say you did it?
I don't know.
Well, I don't understand. You should go tell them then that you're going to get on the stand and say that you didn't do it.
Well, could I get to watch WrestleMania?
If you come home, yeah? I just like how they answer the phone. This is it. The following call is coming from Vulnerable Law Correctional Facilities. Do you accept the charges? Yeah? 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 That's so depressing. That was so depressing.
Yo, I watched up to 7.
Oh, so you are.
My boy is like... 8 is when the hammer drops. So I'm like, fuck, I gotta watch that shit today.
I mean, you already know where it's going. You know it's likely not going where you want it to go.
I don't know. I'm trying not to, because there's like a lot of press and tweets about
it. Oh, me too. I avoided it. I just finished yesterday.
Oh.
And I avoided it forever.
Yeah, I gotta.
I just sat there and was kind of like, this seems crazy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it though. It was pretty good. You probably liked this end part. I found the last 4 or 5 episodes a little courtroomy for me.
I like it though.
You like courtroom drama though.
Yeah,
to me, it went from almost like a documentary to like it's a courtroom documentary.
Yeah, they definitely like. I mean, it's the internet. You know, Netflix. They dragged out. What is it? 10 episodes?
Yeah.
They dragged. I mean, it could have been done in 4.
Right?
It could have been done in 1, you know what I'm saying? Like, but they dragged it out.
But that is amazing when you think about the fact that these guys made this movie 15 years ago.
Yeah, what were they shooting it for?
So the story is, my brother said, I didn't watch it. My brother watched an interview with them, and they said they graduated from NYU. They heard about this thing happening. They were like, let's just go down there and start filming.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, we're talking about when they first started going down there. It's the early 2000s.
Yeah.
There's not even a format of what they did that exists yet.
Right. So it's
the only thing that existed.
Student film is the.
It's after they graduated.
But the concept, like, they just graduated, so it's like, that's what I'm saying. Watching it and how they're filming it is like student film.
It
like,
is. It's we're just gonna observe.
Not sloppy, but it's just like they're just recording everything.
Can you imagine the editing process?
Yeah.
So they go down there, they film it. At that point, the only format for something like that I could think of was, do you remember in the mid-2000s, like 05, Capturing the Freedmans came out.
No.
You ever saw Capturing the Freedmans?
No.
You should see it. I didn't love it, but you
yeah.
It's a documentary about this Jewish family where the father gets accused of molestation.
Sounds kind of familiar.
And it's this documentary about them, but really that one's even more different because one of the sons, who's weird, had a camera, and he just started filming the family going through the whole thing.
Mm.
And then after the whole trial and everything, they made this movie. Yeah. But that's the only thing I can think of in terms of it being like a documentary about a crime that's unfolding.
Film. The second trial.
It's after the first one was already done.
Okay, so it was because he got accused of the second thing.
Yes,
is why they started filming.
I think they were like, oh, hold on.
So they went and gathered footage for the first. The first case is only like in the first episode.
Yeah, they don't have more footage.
Right,
and so the stuff they get.
18 years in jail or whatever. That's all past news footage and stuff.
I think so.
And then that's why it's like that documentary style where it's like old pictures and then they make the pictures move.
Yes. And then once it gets to the 05 or right, whatever that was, filming. Or 04 okay. or 03, they're filming the whole time.
Okay, got it.
But I do recommend it. I mean, I'm sure everyone listening has seen it.
Who are they talking to film this and why are they allowing it?
It's bonkers. Yo, Syph, what do you think of the new Kanye?
I didn't hear him yet. I just downloaded him yesterday.
Didn't listen yet?
No, I don't want to hear it now.
You sure? It's pretty good.
We're talking about this.
I mean, it feels like we're wrapping it up.
All right, wrap it up.
By the way, was I right or was I right about people liking the episode where we played music?
You were right.
I was right, right?
You were right.
People liked, because I knew stuff that for you and I is regular conversation is stuff people don't talk about every day.
You're right.
I said I was right.
You said you were going to do an episode with music. You're right. You're on a fucking roll, okay?
Well, hey, listen.
You're like butter, baby.
But you're a monster DJ. You're out here. You're on cruises with white people. Was anyone getting drunk and fucked on this?
What? It was a fuck fest.
Was it a fuck fest?
Yes. It was a fuck fest.
And was it mostly guy nerds who were upset?
Couples, single people, some kids, some old people. It was fucking crazy.
Did anyone know you?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of New York people. A lot of people knew me.
So they were just people who were hip-hop interested?
Like white boy hip hop.
Any one eppers?
Yes, a couple.
You met a couple one eppers on there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like on this cruise, the one eppers are like the coolest people.
Oh,
most swaggiest
of the whole thing.
Usually they're like the fucking black nerdiest. Oh, on the Che tour, the Michael Che tour, that's where I was bumping into one ep fans. Because SNL fans and one ep fans, I think.
They're related.
Yeah, they meld. That was fucking fun, man.
So, yeah, tell me about those ones. Where did you go?
Flew to New Orleans.
Okay.
Did a show in New Orleans.
All right.
Forget it. The guests are here.
No,
I'll
you
tell
can still
later.
You can still tell it as they walk
I went in. To New Orleans, then went to Texas. Whatever.
And that was it?
I went to Austin.
Okay, yeah, you told me that.
I see why you love Austin.
Awesome city, right?
It's awesome.
See, I really want to go there like when you did, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. What up?
Not during... South by Southwest.
Yeah, I see why you love it though. It's fucking.
You get
cool
any good
shit.
Food? Any barbecue?
Yeah, I went to Franklin's.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've been to Franklin's.
Franklin's is like the famous one with the line. It was amazing.
Hey guys, it's about that time now. We've been having a good time chatting it up with you, if you will. And now, Static Selecta.
Okay.
Grab that microphone over there, Crooked Eye. Static. I'm not considering Static the full guest of this. I'm considering the guest for this, Crooked Eye.
What's that?
King Crooked.
The King.
King Crooked. It's no more Crooked Eyes. King Crooked.
Yeah, you know.
All right, we'll get into all this.
No, I don't.
No, we don't know.
It's Static King. I actually do not know.
It's
Static King.
It's Static King. Man.
So y'all are doing the collab
right
album.
It's not a collab. It's a group.
Oh, Static King.
Static King. That's the group.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know
you guys had a group.
Exactly.
Okay.
I gotta tell you, I'm pretty excited. Static. By the way, I mean, I see what you're doing too, Static.
I see what you're doing.
There are some headphones over there for one of you guys. I guess probably Crook should wear it.
There's headphones for both of them.
Oh, there's headphones for both? Perfect. Yeah. That's even better.
Unless I'm rapping, I don't need it.
Well, just if I play a song, though, you might want to know that I'm playing it. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So I want to get to the background. I think we're going to focus mostly on Crooked and Static, because you require a whole nother episode, too.
Yeah, man. It's overdue.
So you can just ad-lib on to the Crooked story as we promote your guys' album. Because then one day we got to do one with just you and your whole beginnings in Boston. And anyway, so tell first things first.
Yes, sir.
Before we get to the beginning of your story, Crook.
Word.
How did this thing come together? The you and Static situation.
Just, you know, running into each other often and talking about we need to work together, and you know what I'm saying, and finally putting it in the mix, you know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, I always think that it's dope to do a project with one producer because you get that cohesive sound from the intro to the outro, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Right. So that opportunity was just too dope to pass up, you know what I mean? And with Static, I think we were at a Prime show. Where we were somewhere. He was like, yo, you ready? And I was like, yeah, let's get it. You know what, yeah. what I'm saying? So, dope situation.
So
love
you're
it.
Looking at Premier and Royce and be like, ugh, we could do this so much better. What the fuck, man?
You're like,
what
fuck this? These guys. We could do this.
That should be our little tagline. Fuck yeah. these guys.
Yeah. That was like, fuck Primo.
It was definitely, it was definitely part of it. Who is that, Static? No.
Nah, but those are, you know, those are both family to me as well as Crooked, so.
Yeah, no, of yeah, course. That's sure. what makes it fun to tell them to go fuck themselves, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That their album is so good and the bonus yeah. ones are so good. I'm
see, they keep doing shit, right?
I know.
Now. MF Doom, like come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Like y'all are just gonna keep dropping joints.
It's
yeah.
like new it's like a new energy that they both got by doing
yes.
Prime. The same way Run the Jewels got a new energy. Like me and LP were in Australia and you know, I was out there with Joey. He's out there with Killer Mike. And it's like, even with me, like, you know, I'm not that old, but I'm 33. So to be on tour with like 18 and 19 year olds and get those new fans is like a new, it's a new energy for me too. So
of
me
course.
And LP are sitting in a cab on the way to the casino. And we're just like, bro, can you imagine this? Like, we're like, where we're at right now, like doing sold out festivals in Australia, like right now. Cause just a couple years ago, he would have been, you know, doing some Def Jux. You know, a small club or something, or I would have been with like, you know, Term or Saigon or someone doing a small club, not 100,000 people a night.
Crazy.
So it's
yeah.
like it's a whole new life to it.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, and with LP, there was no way of knowing when the Def Jux thing wound down where he would end up.
Yeah.
Let alone him and Kill. It's just they're the most. And by the way, people have been clamoring for us to do a Run the Jewels episode for a long time, and Killer Mike has been clamoring for it for a long time.
I want to say I apologize to Killer Mike because I didn't know how dope he was until Run the Jewels.
Well, I think a lot of people didn't. I don't think we're wrong for that.
I hate when people go, "Yo, he got better." Like, what are you talking about? He always been nice.
You're right. Just people didn't necessarily pay attention, yeah. which is I understand. By the way, like, yeah. and him and I have talked about that. Like, his first single was fucking "All Day I Dream About Sex." I like that record,
right.
but a lot of people didn't.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? So, anyways, Crook. First of all, this is the record that the first record I heard off your guys' project that I thought was phenomenal. Give you a little taste right here. No, it's not plugged in. How about let me plug in this in the volume first? This is, and by the way, Static
what a station. This is.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. You're gonna need to send me the full clean. By the way, you know that. I'll cop
yes,
the dirty.
I got it.
I came from nothing, I always wanted something. They told me I would never succeed. I would only end up dead or in jail. I'm free, I'm alive. I got money, I ain't dead or in jail. It's funny how you think you harder than the hardest. Picture me debating, no time to argue with you artists. If you do a song with me, I'm probably just targeting your market. And then I take them home with me and win that argument.
Guys, that's really fucking good.
I love that song.
That shit's good, bro.
It feels good.
Now, are you like me, Crook, in that, like, I always want to say this to Static while complimenting him and not making it sound backhanded. I thought for many years Static was like an amazing mini Primo. And then over the last five, six years, he's just become his own dude of of the best doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and those are good compliments though to be compared, you know what I mean? But you know, you want to live in your own space as a person and an artist, you know what I mean? But
I don't remember which record it was that started it, but he just got musical in a different way, like
yeah,
went a whole different way.
Because everybody, when I say yo, I'm doing it with Static, he got that preem shit. Like, you know what
like
saying?
Nah, you got
you know why they do that though? It's because I'm the only dude under like 40 years old that scratches and produces on the records. I like you can't name someone even close to my age range that does it.
It's actually a good point.
Right before me, the only person that was like maybe DJ Revolution, but that even him, he's like 10 years older than me though.
Right,
like there's no one in my age group or lower really Shout out to Relly Rel, because Relly is a DJ producer. He's younger than me. I'm trying to think of like cats trying to hold that DJ producer torch.
Yeah, you're right.
And it just doesn't exist. It's sad, man. I want to have these young kids like give me a run for my money with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's either producers or there's DJs, and it's just so rare in hip hop now
that you're getting both. So Crook, where does the story start from you, man? Like I was thinking about this the other day. Like, we know that there was a Death Row story,
right?
So let's take us back, if you can, to the beginning. Where exactly, first of all, were you born and where did you come up? But tell us about the beginning.
I mean, long story short, I'm from Long Beach, California. So
true.
I was around. I didn't know how lucky I was to be able to sit in the lab with Snoop on his come up. You know what I mean? And like the Dog Pound.
Why were you there?
Warren G. Because we're all from the same city. And we all know each other. Like, yeah, I was a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Getting blunts or like what? Like,
nah, you know what? I always knew that I wanted to rhyme. Like, that was just it. You know what I mean? Since I was in fucking elementary school, I knew that. So I was always, with the B-boys and the graph artists and, and I was early into it. So,
Snoop, but with the age, with your
Snoop
age difference.
Snoop was 19, yeah, 20, exactly. So you were like what?
Yeah. He said 20 and 19. But I was a kid. I was a teenager, just becoming a teenager. I was like 15, 16.
And
is this in the 90s. This is like when he was doing his first St. Ives commercial and,
crazy.
Shit, like that.
Just after the album?
Like right after. Like not even understanding that he was a superstar yet.
Right.
Like pre-Murder Was the Case movie
exactly.
And album. Got
it. Yeah, so, to be in those situations and sit around and freestyle with him and Corrupt and Nate, rest in peace, and Daz and Warren, and it was just a great situation to be in when I look back, And he was, he was on Death Row, so it was
what'd
almost...
What'd they call you back then?
Crooked.
you were always Crooked?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, people know Crooked Eye.
Right.
We think of it as being a reference to St. Ives.
Right.
So yeah. What's the story with that?
And well, it really is. It's my older brother, man. He used to fucking drink that shit like every single day. And he used to call me Crooked because we used to do the same things, but he would get caught and I wouldn't. So he would always be like, you a crooked little bastard, you know what I mean? Because you never get caught. You never get in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
So it's a double play on Crooked.
Yeah, it's a double play. But I mean, it's no fancy, sexy story behind it. It's just what it is, and it kind of just stuck, you know what I mean? But in the early days of Long Beach, dog, we had like 10 deals in Long Beach at that time, like coming up. Like a lot of people had record deals, you know what I'm saying?
Who else had them?
You're looking at Warren G with G-Funk, so he had like the Dove Shack, and he had the Twins, and he had the Five Footers, and he had a crew called the Hostile Click. Like that's already four or five people signed under the right. Def Jam umbrella.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Then you had the Dog Pound, then you had Snoop, then you had my guy, Domino. Here we go. You know what I'm saying? So there was
first beat by Battle Cat.
Yeah, Battle Cat.
That's
the
Battle
same,
Cat?
Yeah,
early beats Battle are dope. Cat. That's what One Ep is for, bitches.
Feel me? Yeah, see what I'm saying? Dub Shack, Summertime in the LBC. You know what I mean?
Cypher, were you a fan of the song?
Was it too smooth or what?
Summertime in the LBC, too smooth?
It's shit.
He said, I ain't fucking with that shit.
No, I love that shit.
This shit is so
I'm a West Coast head. I love
it's
that
like
shit.
Super West Coast. It's hard to explain, though. Like I feel like you could play this for someone now, and it'd be hard to explain why this is so dope.
Yeah, exactly. I play
that
it on my shows,
G
though.
Album?
I play that song on my shows.
This one?
Yeah.
Come out to? Or just
no, like, I just, I take them to my city, and I'm like, yo, what you know about this shit right here? You know what I mean? And people know that shit around the world. It's crazy.
How big was this in Long Beach?
Oh, it was crazy.
Like, because that's interesting.
We ignored a whole fucking era of hip-hop just listening to Long Beach shit. You know what I'm saying?
And that had to be the one. That was the crown jewel.
So,
right?
I go on tour with Slaughterhouse, and they're arguing about different projects, and I'm like, yo, bro.
We didn't even know
that. We didn't even listen to that.
What were you guys talking about?
We was listening to Dog Pound all day.
Yo, it's crazy when you point out how many deals there were, too.
Yeah, it was not. The city was cracking, And I'm trying to help return it to that. Like, yesterday, I ran into my guy, Joey Fats, and
he was up here for Yams thing, right?
Exactly. So, we're talking about putting some stuff together for the city. It's a lot of talent out there. Still is, man.
I mean, of course. Then you have this joint right here, which is that Krizak. Hold on. Hold on, Syfe. Hold on. You know about this.
Big get you thirsty, please grab Sprite. My crib's lurking, don't die tonight. I just wanna dance with you, baby. Just don't move too fast, I'm too crazy. Man, down, down the ave, it gets shady.
With Vince, now you got Vince Staples.
Vince Staples, you know. My homie Tiny C Style, he running around with Currency right now, doing his thing with the Jet Life crew. I mean, we got a lot of people out there that's doing their thing, dog.
All right, so what happened? How did you get, did you like meet with Suge Knight? How did this actually happen for you that you end up getting signed?
Well, I was on Virgin, man, Records. That was my first record deal. I was on Virgin Records. They had a label called New Tribe. They put all
of course. New Tribe. Loonies, yeah, the Loonies, Gangstar.
Gangstar, Almighty RSO, Face Mob.
Yep.
So, you know, I was a kid, dog. Like, when I talk about it, it's like, damn, dog, I was really a kid with a deal, a major deal. You know what I'm saying? But after they folded and they were like, yo, everybody darker than a paper bag, get the fuck out. And they took their took the urban department, you know, saying it was like, no more. Except Janet.
Janet was good.
You're good, Janet. Everybody else, peace. So after that, I went independent, dog. And I just started traveling in the South and learning the independent game from the Southern kids out here in Houston and Dallas and Louisiana, Atlanta. And I was independent, man. I got a knock on my door. I was living in Long Beach on the east side on Linden Avenue. And, you know, I got a knock on my door and they were like, yo.
It was back in the days on the Avenue of Linden?
Exactly. Straight Tribe shit. But my homie Big C Style, who's one of the founding members of the Dog Pound. A lot of people don't know that he really named them the Dog Pound, and you know, because they were laying around his apartment like a kennel. And he's like, This is the dog pound.
You know what I mean?
But he knocked on my door, and you know, him and Daz, and they were like, yo, Suge wanna talk to you. And I'm like, he was incarcerated at the time. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll go see him. Shit, I'm doing independent, whatever, let's go. So apparently he was married to Michelle A at the time, Suge was, and she heard one of my freestyles on the radio, and she told him like, yo, we need to sign this kid right here, you know what I mean? So I went up to see Suge.
Had you already met Suge before that? Like we were
we would pass each other by without words. You know, like I'll come
who's
in.
Who's this fucking little nigga walking around? Yeah, who's it?
Because I was in there with my homie Rand Dog. It's a funny quick story. My homie Rand Dog is like, he bench presses like 500, 600, like just big motherfucker. And he's walking through the door at the same time with Suge. And that was the first time I ever saw Suge. And to see them try to squeeze by each other in the fucking door, I just remember just like fucking snickering under my breath like, this shit is hilarious. We actually was going to, it was a Pac session. Pac and Snoop were doing a gangster party. Yeah. So, whoa. You know, I was able to.
Okay. How? Right. What is happening?
I know. So, but anyway, like I said, I went to go see Suge. It was a surreal, you know, experience because he's obviously incarcerated and, you know, we're talking and shit and I'm on a visit. And, you know, he just was basically like, yo, what do you want to do? And I'm like, yo, I want to do this, I want to do that. He was like, all right, cool. I was like, you know, I want to make money, bro. Like, I want to make money out of music, too. I don't want to just be famous. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, I could dig that. So we kind of went over our deal points. I used to go up there like once a month, meet with him. We kind of negotiated everything right there in the penitentiary.
Crazy. So what year are we talking about?
We're talking 99.
So when it's all said and done, 99.
Yeah. All said and done, 99. M was just bubbling crazy, you know. It was a crazy time, man. But
and how much success did you have in that situation? Did what came out? Pardon my ignorance. Like what? I've known your name for so long, yeah. But I don't remember the early work that you were putting out.
Well,
so take us through a little bit.
We did a few projects. We did the Dysfunctional Family soundtrack, Eddie Griffin movie. I really produced the whole situation. You know, Jay-Z, Ashanti, everybody was on that. We did a lot of stuff, man. We did some compilations. I recorded like a whole 3 albums, and I went to see him one day. I'm like, yo, we need to put this out. He's like, look, my time is short, I'll be out. He's like, I just want to be there when we drop it. And I'm like, yo, he's like, listen, don't even trip. He cut me a check and he was like, just kick back. And I was like, all right, cool, I'll wait on you to come back. And meanwhile, I just put out a lot of mixtapes. And, you know, Death Row was more of, when he got out, it was just like, it was like that show Entourage, you know what I'm saying? It was, we went around the world. We in Hawaii recording, in the Bahamas recording. We in the Four Seasons in Paris. We doing all this shit and not putting shit out.
So basically, he's just spending his money.
He's just spending money. We just flying all over the place, showing up
how
at
many
parties.
Of you and who are the other artists at the time?
You know, other artists and his homies, you know, a lot of them that are not here today, you know what I mean? But, you know, this is like
the start. This is like, of what he was like trying to create the next phase. The new.
Basically, we did the cover at XXL. It was me. Corrupt came back.
Right, I
and
remember that.
Left Eye, rest in peace. Lisa was over there. She had a project that I worked with her on. I wrote a lot of stuff for her on that project.
Is Daz and Snoop still around?
Nah, Daz and Snoop are gone
because they went No Limit. They had their little problems.
They went. They separated. Yeah.
So Corrupt came back.
All right. You know, and we had, you know, took the death off, which I was happy about.
Oh yeah.
And just called it the row.
I remember that.
You know what I mean? I was like, come on, Todd. There's enough death going on over here.
Look at you.
Positive. Yeah. Positive. So you're just running around spending money.
That's it.
They're just spending fucking dough.
Dog, I got billboards in Beverly Hills and shit. People, and no everybody music. Knows who the hell I am. Nobody heard one album.
I was about to say that's got to be interesting because your name really has been out there longer than many people knew your work.
Bro, I've been on 3 covers of XXL in my career.
I haven't made music yet.
So what a bonus.
What a bonus that you turned out to be a great rapper because you were just famous for being famous.
Just famous for being famous and shit. It's so hilarious, dog, but... You know, it was a good time over there. You know, it wasn't all bad. I mean, you know, the shootouts and stuff like that. You know, that right there, it was becoming like, yo, you know what? If I'm going to risk my life out here, I mean, you go get a deal and do something with your career to get away from that kind of thing. You feel me? And when you go somewhere where it still, you know, very much so exists, it's like, yo, you know what, man?
What am I doing?
I got to go ahead and bounce because... We're not putting the records out. I knew why. The industry didn't want to see Suge return, you know.
He was a menace before.
I mean, because we had a deal with Koch, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Before Koch was really, like, whatever. And they projected my album numbers to do well. But he was like, yo, I don't want to do it because he was used to selling millions and millions of records. When he got out,
the game changed though.
Yeah,
man.
When he got out, the game changed, bro. You're not gonna do platinum first week, bro.
Yeah, you should have put it out. This is where you had your big explosion back in the day. You had all the crazy success, but now this is where the longevity of record companies come in, where you can put out projects that make money. Everything's not going to be the fucking biggest shit. Or maybe the first one might not be, but then you'll build it up, and the second one might be.
I mean, the
but
numbers used today to like, would have been incredible right now. We'd be sitting here in a whole nother zone.
Right, but he's used to Dre, Snoop.
Pac.
Pac, like, it's not.
It wasn't appealing to him.
Yeah,
but,
it's different, man.
And then, you know, he's running with Irv, and, you know, Murder, Inc. at the time is selling just crazy numbers, too.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, he wants to do that.
Yeah, he let the pride, get to him. But what was cool, though. Like, what was, you're at Death Row in the office on, like, a normal day.
Yeah.
What is, like, the Dre Pistol. Talk?
Oh, no, like, you said just what they talk about with Dre?
Like, would it come up or was that?
I brought it up. I was like, I think the reason he loves me still to this day, like, is because I just, fuck politics, man. You know what I'm saying? I just in here and people would be looking at me like, did you just say that to Suge?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I told him one day, I said, you know, I'm going to go see Dre, man. I think Dre... You know, you and Dre need to talk, dog. Yeah. I was like, yo, this shit would be dope if we had some Dre beats on this shit.
Yo, guys, this album's really good. You know what it could use, though? That dude, Dr. Dre, who made all the music good
just
before.
Just laugh and shit like, man, all right, go ahead. Go see what he says. And he just like, Dre ain't fucking with this shit. I ain't fucking with him. But if you want to have that energy and you want to go over there, cool, go ahead. Go tell me, come back and tell me what he said.
Did you ever actually try to do it?
Hell yeah.
And did it happen? Did you talk to him?
I did talk to him. But you know what was so dope? And this is probably the reason why I'm on Shady right now. I know we've been talking a lot of crip right now, but
this is what we're here for.
This is what we're here for. This is it.
Yo,
please talk.
Listen,
about
by the
Static
way,
Static King, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, real quick, Static, is it out right now?
Nah, February 12th.
It's out February 12th. So we got a few weeks still till for that Static King. Don't ever forget when we're talking about this classic history, you could pre-order that Static King, and it's guaranteed Static Selecta beats and Crooked Eye Rhymes.
Okay.
King Crook, if you will.
All right,
so keep going.
So I'm on the radio station one day, and Ja just drops the joint where he's talking shit about 50 and M. This is I guess this is the first time he really went in on M. And I guess he said some shit about his daughter. And, you know, they asked me, they're like, yo, you know, because at this point I'm on the Baby remix with Ashanti, you know what I'm saying? So I'm doing shows with Ashanti and shit. And they're like, you know, Death Row, Murder, Inc., y'all are very close to each other. How do you feel about, you know, this Eminem shit? And I'm like, yo, I said, I love Irv, because Irv is one of the dudes who kept it 100 with me from the gate. You know what I mean? Like, I was in a business in Hollywood with a lot of fake people, and Irv kept it really solid with me. So I love Irv to death to this day. But I'm like, yo, I'm not really in that. I don't know what the beef is about. It's not my thing personally. I think M is a great rhymer. I think Dre is one of the greatest producers ever. I said, I love Murder, Inc., but, you know, what do you want me to do? You want me to sit here and say, you know? And they respected it, you know? And I get a call when I left Death Row. I went to Fat Beats record store, and I got the Dr. Dre Chronic 2001.
The old Fat Beats in LA on Melrose. Love that. Upstairs.
Exactly. So I have his vinyl of all the instrumentals. You mean he released the instrumental?
Yeah, remember the vinyl one? Yeah,
of course. So I'm like, yo, I'm about to do a mixtape, and I'm going to use all Dre beats and Primo beats. So I did a mixtape with just, you know, those two guys and beats. And as soon as I picked the record up, my phone rings, and I get, hello? Yo, Crook. I was like, who's this? Yo, it's Dre, nigga. I said, what's up, man? I hadn't talked to him literally in years. What's up? Just wanted to let you know that we heard you on the radio that day, man. Me and M were in the studio, and, you know, we turned the radio on, and we heard you speaking positive about us, brother.
Oh,
and,
that question was on the radio.
Yeah. That question was on the radio.
Oh, somebody asked you that? Oh.
Yeah.
He was up there when it dropped.
Yeah, I was up there when it dropped.
Got you.
And
come on,
who knows who's listening?
Yeah.
This is why I tell, that's why I tell, you know, up and coming artists all the time, be yourself. No matter what situation you're in, always be you. Because you don't know how far that will take you.
They are, man.
They don't.
Hey, real quick, I want to take this moment. So I could.
What do you want to?
Oh, is that
feed the meter and talk about Squarespace?
No.
Oh.
You have 15 minutes to feed the meter, and I couldn't help but notice your face, that you have a clean shave.
Oh, the cleanest. I'm sorry.
It's because you were over at GetBevel.com.
Yes, I was.
Now, would you describe, I have a question, would you describe Crooked, King Crook over here,
yeah,
would you describe him as white, or would you describe him as having a...
darker than a paper bag.
Is he darker than a paper
bag? Darker than a paper bag.
And would you say he probably has coarse facial hair?
Yeah.
So for
ethnically, historically,
yes,
he probably has coarse
facial hair.
Crooked hair.
Crooked hair, if you will. Crooked has crooked hair.
Yeah.
So for people like us, you know, the Jews, the Puerto Ricans, black people, getbevel.com.
You could
get a razor that actually handles your skin just right. And my favorite thing about them, I'm not going to lie about it, not only is the razor amazing, they support the Juan Epstein podcast.
Thank you so much.
So you should head over there right now. Head over to getbevel.com. They will give you 20% off your first month's membership. Yes, if you use the code JuanEp, though. So head over to getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. Use the code JuanEp for 20% off your first month. All right?
You want to
have so that way you'll have a clean look. Like King Crook. Oh, it rhymes!
Oh, so you know what's so ill? That's the razor I use.
Of course it is. Because that's what we do, King Crook.
You know what I'm saying? I love that. It's like heavy. It's dope. I love it.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that. I would have went to you sooner. So I have to deal with most of our ne'er-do-well guests who, when I mention something, they're like, nah, I don't fuck with that. It's like, no, we're doing
Clippers, son. We do the Clippers.
Ice Clippers over here. Actually, I've heard. I don't let the cat out of the bag. Bevel's about to drop like a new trimmer clipper joint, actually, also.
That's crazy.
We'll get to that later. Anyways,
wait, where's Mike? Hip Hop Mike?
I don't know. He's around. Why, you want to feed the meter? I thought you paid till 1.
Yeah, but it's like 12:50.
All right. Do you want me to text him?
Yeah,
will you tell Mike to come and take care of Sife?
I can stop.
What? Yeah, I'm recording. You're good. Yeah, thanks for interrupting the whole podcast, Dom.
Brother Dom.
I thought Canadians are polite. Why are you interrupting the whole podcast?
You can edit. There was a good edit point there.
Oh, shut up. There's a good edit point there. Later, Dom the Bomb. Anyway, so let's pick it up. You're
it's a book, man. It's a movie.
There's a lot of movie going on. So Dre reaches out for the first time. You touch base
exactly.
over there. Now, does this end up coming back around full circle in any way to you being
Shady
signed to
Records.
Shady? Yeah, and building with Eminem?
Because everybody on Death Row, see, you know what the problem was? It really wasn't Suge so much as it was the people around. They thought they had to do shit to impress him. Mm. So, you know, if M was in town, then they would go up there and, you know, try to cause some havoc. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was there for one of those.
Wait. Explain what you mean, and then Syph, tell your story.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. If Death Row is in the building and some, you know, you got some kids out here who got the t-shirt on and they not even really official, but you know they want to prove something, and you know they go smash on somebody, or you know, in the industry, just, you know, hey Suge, oh yeah, we were over there and it went down, you know, we did this, we did that, like just to try to impress dude. And he was never impressed, by the way. That used to be so funny to me, because as soon as they leave his office, he'd be like, phew. You know what I'm saying?
I
went with Flex to LA when Dre and Eminem did the American Music Awards.
Okay.
And
he had to bring you to LA just so you go pick up his cheeseburgers?
Yeah, I had to go get the fat burgers.
Okay. I know how it is.
But yeah, so like Flex was DJing for them. And the level of security and the intensity and it was so tense. And they were like, yo, there's some Death Row niggas out there. And like, we went to perform. And then as soon as we didn't even get to high five. Like, that was, I mean, not me. I'm not saying we, I wasn't there. But Flex performed with them. And like, as soon as they come off the stage, there's like an army of like Secret Service. And we go through like some underground tunnel, get in the limos, and we out. Like, out.
Yeah. Wow. It was intense for me.
Yeah. And like, the trailers. Like, we were in, like, some trailers before the show, and it was just... That's what I was telling you. Remember I always tell you the story of how me and M were talking, and he was telling me how much he loves Tretch and Redman?
Yeah.
That was where it was, that in that trailer. And then when it was time to go to the show, like, everything just got... Like, we're surrounded by, like, Secret Service almost. Like,
it was intense, dog. Like, I knew people from Aftermath and obviously from Snoop's camp, and sometimes they would call me, like, yo... Y'all here when they had certain events and shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all up here? I'm like, nah, dog.
How are you so cool with
everybody?
We
in
Hawaii. You're cool with Dre from when you were hanging out with Snoop and them?
Yeah. My older homie, Big C Style, he's like a big deal in the city. And him and Dre had a relationship. And
okay, so you was just around.
Yeah, I was just around, man.
Right.
You know.
So he wasn't mad when you signed a Death Row. It was just you was just trying to get your money. Like,
yeah, I was like, yo. He was like, yo, just wait around. Dre was like, wait around. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then, you know, we'll fuck around. And I was like, I can't really wait, dog.
Yeah.
You know, I had to get up out of my situation I was in. I was in a bad situation. And it was like, you know, just personally, you know. And it was like, you know what, man, this dude is offering me a lot of money. I can help my mother.
Yeah.
I could do things, you know what I mean? I got to do this. You know, and I would do it again. I don't care.
Did you ever have a situation like at a Straight Outta Compton where some guy on the street like says something to Suge next to his car and Suge just lays him out in the middle of the street?
Man,
we got much. The question.
What did you say, Syph?
His pause answered the question.
So you did see some shit.
Dog, I'm telling you right now, Straight Outta Compton ain't nothing.
they cleaned it up. They cleaned it up.
Yeah, I mean, dudes used to follow. Look, it was a gang, man. It wasn't a record label. It was a gang. People used to follow me through the malls with guns, and you know, if you had a Death Row chain, that was a trophy to a lot of people, just to get the chain.
On some,
you know,
gang
what I'm saying?
Shit.
Yeah,
on some rival shit.
On some gang right. shit. You see what I'm saying?
So you had to have people watch you all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? I move a lot. I move Dolo a lot, though. I was
with the chain, though. Would you?
Yeah. With the Ruger P89 17.
Oh, exactly. So you were good yourself.
Yeah, but I'm in and out. I don't mess around. Like, you know, I'm like, hey, what's up? How y'all? I'm out. You know, but it was a time, man. That was a crazy time, man. It's dope though, because you know they want to do the Death Row movie. So I was actually in talks with a guy who invests in movies, and I'm like, listen, they took $29 million and made Straight Outta Compton, and it went phenomenally well. If you take $31 million, $29 to do the movie, bail Suge out, $2 million, get the rights from Suge, bail him out, and I'll go down there, I'll go talk to him myself about the whole situation.
Does he even have the rights to do that, though?
Yeah, you got the
I know they sold it a couple times.
Yo, the IRS took everything. Yo, they came in the building and auctioned off everything in the whole entire building. And they even auctioned his fucking drawers, dog. Like his boxer shorts, everything.
Oh, there's an episode of
Yo, they did
There's
everything.
An episode of Storage Wars where the dude finds like a bunch of suits that Suge Knight owned.
Yo, somebody bought a briefcase. My whole unreleased album was in that briefcase.
Come on.
Yeah, so they have the copy and they put it out on the internet, dog.
Wow.
I don't
They took everything. Like that, dog, you gotta understand. The SWAT team stormed the label before. They cut holes and shit and took computers and I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's a famous picture online where it's a guy, a SWAT team member, standing on top of the roof of Death Row by my billboard. You know what I'm saying? And he's just chilling with the, you know. So it's like the things that happened over there, I don't think will happen ever again in hip hop. And I just, it's a good story, but it's just only so much you can tell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's some things that you're just not ever going to be able to tell. Did you,
But you sound like you're like a hip hop guy though, like
yeah.
He's nerd rap through and through.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he's
for
about
sure.
These bars, bars.
Yeah, we can't call them bars anymore.
No, there's over.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
I don't know. Somebody told me that sounds too, you know, I'm trying to still keep the golden era alive. So they're like, you know, it's creative expression now.
That sounds like you're trying to keep the metrosexual alive,
fucking hippie life alive.
I don't understand.
I've tweeted bars. They're like, yo, dog, you still talking about bars?
Like, sorry.
Damn, dog.
Now, were you shocked? were you as shocked as the rest of us when we continued to see these situations where Suge got like laid out at parties? Like that had to be weird for you.
Well, you know.
Everybody can get laid out, man.
Exactly.
It don't matter.
You know what trips me out that's even worse? Is I know the first guy, he was a barber. I used to go to strip club with him, Stars Gentlemen's Club. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who knocked Suge out the first time,
that.
Right?
On the car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that dude, man. Anyway.
Right, exactly. That's I'm sure a lot, by the way, I'm sure a lot of those stories.
You know what I'm saying? It's like.
I know, it was tough for us on the radio. It's tough for us on the radio doing the job. The stories would come up.
Did he move out of town? Hey, he probably moved out of town.
Yeah, he did. He probably got a new, shop.
In Portland.
He went to Portland.
Portlandia.
He headed out to Portland. Then he reset. So.
By the way, Oregon, fucking. Are those dudes still occupying that fucking building in Oregon or they left out of there?
Who knows? That story didn't even. Because I didn't know what you're talking about.
I heard something.
You saw it, right? It was like a little weird.
A militia.
Like, yeah, but it was like some anti-government protest.
Anti-government,
right?
But they went in there with fucking automatic rifles.
Saif, do you have any thoughts on the Oscar protest that everyone's getting passionate about?
No, what is that? Black? Something about black people?
Every time there's a protest, you're about 90% right if you say it's black.
He's here.
Yo, no, some black people.
Listen,
yeah.
Black Oscars matter.
Black Oscars
Since
matter.
I left the radio, I don't have to be in touch with. I never really like current events. It's not my thing.
Right.
But I'm around a lot of people, so like I hear like, I'm around a lot of comedians at the Comedy Cellar, and Chris Rock is hosting, so that's like table talk.
Oh yeah.
So it's like Spike Lee, Chris Rock. What's he gonna say? And I hear like little bits.
Right.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Well, here's the. I'm not gonna have a whole rant here, but here's the one thing that's irritating. So, Oscars come out, not one black person's nominated in any of the major categories.
Okay.
Obviously, you look at that and you go, "That's weird." Then you look at the list of movies this year and you go, "All right." But the part that makes this a story is not about the Oscars. It's about the fact that in this era we live in, black people still aren't getting cast in movies. They're not making movies.
Right.
They're not being given money by companies to make movies. The Oscar part is just the result.
Of
it's not
it.
The
it's
problem.
All, it's all it all funnels down into it's that one
that's
night.
The end of it. So now,
but
so
you know what's so ill? Not to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Eddie Murphy 20 years ago, because I just saw the clip. 20 years ago, he says, yo, fuck the Oscars. And he's like, I didn't even want to be here. He was on Oscars. He's like, yeah. I didn't want to be here. He said, my agent told me to come. And he's like, you know, we don't get nominated for shit anyway. And this was 20 years ago.
So nothing Straight Outta Compton's not nominated or nothing?
It's nominated for like little things.
Not top four.
Best score.
Yeah.
What the?
It's not like O'Shea Jackson Jr. didn't get nominated for best actor.
Right.
But the problem
is that was a great movie.
By the way, and he killed it.
The Drake kid too.
Drake, yo, man. Drake, my favorite. That kid's my favorite.
They both killed it.
Especially after I seen him on The Walking Dead. That same kid
on
The Walking Dead, and he's a totally different character on there. Like
you're like, wow, he's an actual actor. Yeah, that's an actor.
That's an actor.
Although I gotta tell you, like, I like the movie a lot. Yeah. I like the acting even better than the movie, though.
We're all of us hip hop nerds are too close. We're looking for like little flaws and mistakes, right?
Well, Crook, you want to know the part that me and Sife made fun of?
5 hours worth of footage they had, I guess.
You know the part we made fun of? The part we made fun of as well. He's like, oh, maybe you should sit around here and mess around with this for a second.
Like fucking around with it, like,
what is this?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, let me try this.
Hitting the wrong note.
Oh, there it is. Oh, okay, I found it. Hey. Let me try it. Try freestyle to this, Snoop. I thought you were gonna like this.
One and two, the two. Yo, but that dude didn't look like Snoop, but he sounded like Snoop.
Yeah, that's probably why.
That was the most off, I think, in the whole movie.
But think about what you're saying.
It was like Tupac and the Biggie movie.
Much was on though? For like the Snoop, all right, that one was off, but everyone else was on, yo.
The NWA characters were great.
Great. Yeah.
But by the way, that was my number one flaw with the movie. Y'all shouldn't have been getting into Pac and Snoop in the first place. Right. Like, it was too much. You started biting off a little too much. NWA story itself.
I don't like how they left out the Easy Dre beef.
They left it really out.
I know they're trying to like. Walk on ice with certain subjects, but it's like they could have gone a little bit more. They could have done real motherfucking juice.
How you gonna leave out this?
But I think
even the Easy song.
Yeah.
Like that was a big real song motherfucking on the West Coast. Yeah. That was a big song. Like people were like, yo, you know, I was in a studio working with Dre and he showed me what do you call that when an actor is trying out for a part?
The
audition.
The audition. He showed me the audition tape of those guys.
Yeah.
Before the movie started, and yo,
that's crazy.
The guy when Easy found out that, I mean, spoiler alert, you ain't watched Straight Outta Compton, but when he finds out, oh shit, in real life, and when he finds out that he has AIDS, they made that guy do that part
in the audition.
In the audition. And it was so powerful just looking at it. I was like, yo, this movie's going to be classic, dog.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to be a classic fucking movie, dog.
The end of that movie.
But the thing is, the hip-hop parts, we're like super nerded out about every little detail of hip-hop. But overall, as a movie, it was a great fucking movie. I can't believe none of those guys got nominated. What's the hashtag for this?
For this protest?
I want to boycott.
Right, Oscar in? So white.
Yeah, I want to. Oscar's so white.
It's funny, too.
That's the real hashtag. I'm just.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
Oscar's so white?
Yeah.
That is its horrible hashtag.
Yeah, you're not going to win Oscars. With that marketing.
It's boycott Oscars and Oscar's so white.
So then Jada Pinkett came out. So this is and she dissed the whole thing. We need to do blah, blah. But then everyone else is like, "Ayo, Jada, why are you guys coming out to speak about this just because Will didn't get nominated for Concussion?
Movie. Yeah, but honestly, that movie was not as ill as they
And that's what a lot of people said. And people were like, and then a lot of people, I'm not speaking for myself, come out and they're like, yo, Will and Jada haven't said anything about Black Lives Matter, about any issue,
right.
And you're going to come out because Will didn't get nominated for a Concussion?
Yeah. You think Leo's finally going to win?
I'm halfway through that movie. I had to take a break because it was too intense.
Crazy.
His acting in that movie is incredible.
I mean, it wasn't a lot of other movies that should have won, too, though.
Yeah, that movie was... Have you watched it yet?
Not yet.
The Revenant, that's pretty intense.
This is my next film I got to watch.
He's a great actor. I don't understand.
You saw the Bear scene yet?
Yeah.
That's the craziest scene.
That's what I said. Ever. And my wife was like, I heard the bear scene's unrealistic. I'm like, what? I thought that was a real fucking bear.
Whoever told her that needs to, like, never talk about movies ever
that,
in their life. That's
like if he gets attacked by a bear and the scene is like, you're like, it feels like they actually got a real bear to
it's
act.
It's the craziest scene ever, bro.
Yo, Static's so angry, you can hear the New England coming out.
He's like, yo, it's fucking ridiculous. ever since they looked over Mark Wahlberg.
Here we go.
Mark Wahlberg.
Here we go.
Yo, is it a Quahog out there for real?
That's in Rhode Island. I don't think it really exists.
Nah, I don't think so.
But everything else in the movie's real, though. Like, they do, they talk about Attleboro a lot, which is on the line of Rhode Island. It's in Mass, but it's on the line of Rhode Island. They're like, I don't know why, but they always go, oh, we go to Jack's Joke Shop in South Attleboro, Massachusetts. That's like a joke on Family Guy.
Oh, on Family Guy. I thought you were talking about The Revenant. I was like, is it Massachusetts?
Now, Static.
Quahog is from Family Guy.
Yeah. Now, Static, do you consider yourself a New Yorker at this point?
Absolutely. You're 13 years, man.
So where do you, because this is similar, we're in a similar situation. I've been here eight and a half.
They say 10.
Yeah, but 10 is.
But still.
Wait a minute. You guys have a maximum amount of time that you have to
minimum.
Put in.
10 years.
Or minimum. And then boom.
They say 10.
Then you're a New Yorker.
Then you can say I'm a New Yorker.
And a fellow New Yorker has to respect
but
that.
But I know how you feel, though. No, why? Because I know you hit the ground running when you moved to New York. When I moved to New York, it was the, all right, today we're going to Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, dropping off mixtapes every day. So, like,
you were
just
the
first year alone, because I've been coming my whole life, but the first year alone, I felt like I knew New York like the back of my hand. Cause
you
I
probably
was,
know New York better than New Yorkers. Cause
yeah, of course you do.
He is a New Yorker.
Every girlfriend I've had to New York, I had to teach them about New York, and they're from New York.
Why not? Now, but dog, that really pisses me.
Brooklyn niggas don't fuck with the Bronx and vice versa. And like Queens and Brooklyn fuck with each other a little more because they're close together.
Last night, when you know how they on stage, they go, where's Queens at? Where's Jersey? Yeah. Joey did all the boroughs except the Bronx. I'm like, this dude.
Yeah, they don't.
Buck. Yo, but what were you gonna say pisses you off, Crook?
My perception of New York was destroyed when I came to New York.
In what sense?
I feel you. I know exactly what you mean.
Of like people don't fuck with each other. Yeah. And then don't even talk about hip hop. I'm sitting in the Source office, my first time coming out here, and I'm talking about the Juice Crew, and everybody's like looking at me like I'm fucking speaking Chinese.
Worst.
I'm like, yo, you got a job at the Hip Hop Bible, right, and you don't know who the fuck the man, let me.
Was the hip hop.
Go back to Long Beach, man.
Was the hip hop.
At that time,
I go out of my way to hit up editors.
At that time, it was.
If I see like one of the journalists, whatever you want to call
TJ Swan. Who?
If I see some say some dumb shit on like Instagram or Twitter or something, I'll hit him up immediately and be like, bro, who you got working over there? I remember at, XXL put Rakim performs his song, Clap Your Hands to This. And I hit up Vanessa. I'm like, yo, who you have working over there? And she's like, this is unacceptable. I'm thank you for hitting me. Someone got yelled at. Because that shit is like.
You're a hip hop snitch.
No, no, they put.
I respect it. I respect it.
Any hip hop fuck ups. He's like,
nah. Oh, hell no.
It's not. No, but think about back in the day, like. When you know when all these magazines mattered, it was like every syllable had to be on
smack
point.
For that, yo.
You could get a clap for this.
Well, you know what? And we don't even have, like, I was talking to Elliot about that last night. We don't even have any standards as far as, like, when I say.
It's too far gone.
Like I'm saying, like, I remember being young and like, yo, that shit would be so dope if I had the hip-hop quotable.
It's like a goal. Or, there's no goals now. What's the goal?
There's no goals.
Like, get retweeted by Kim Kardashian.
Like, somebody, and you guys have that format. You got that platform. You know, somebody needs to create some sort of something to inspire the new generation of rappers to say, yo, I want to be ill. I want to get this recognition from you guys.
Nah, it's a very good point. It's a very good point. And the thing is, we would have to come up with something creative because it can't be as simple as, you know, like, for example, I want when artists get here and they come do Ebro's show to feel like, oh, this is a big deal. But at the same time, we take interviews with Cat Stacks. So it can't be that.
Whose idea is that?
It's just getting, we have incredible
digital
numbers.
Why is she still a thing?
But that's.
They want to get digital numbers. Although I got to tell you, she's actually gets a bad rap in the sense that.
Oh, come
on. No. Look, hear me out. Not that she's anything good, but her story's sad and interesting. Not like, it's not entertaining. It's actually just really depressing. And I think worth hearing how women can become prostitutes. not in a good, positive, anything like that. She's just an example, though, of like, you didn't do anything related to the culture, and you're getting interviewed on Hot 97.
Though,
that's crazy.
She got one more rappers in these magazines now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but what, Hot 97, what, that's not, it's not,
no, but it would be good if you could, it would be good if you could think of a way to make it some sort of thing, right? Like, let's say, when let's say maybe the thing is, we let only certain people rap live on the radio, and when you come up and you get on the box at 8 a.m. and you're gonna rap live, this is different than just getting your video interview.
Absolutely.
Like, we'll do video interviews for whatever, but only fucking when Kendrick's promoting his album and Slaughterhouse has an album.
I think
they
that's
can come
dead
and do that.
I think it's dead, man.
Yeah, you guys, hip hop is
even
way,
on my
it's
show
too much big. It's bigger than that.
People like, so warn you ahead now of time now, like, yo, I ain't got no raps got no, tonight. It's like, bro, you even know why you're here? It's because you rap. And now you
yo,
ain't
but
got
I understand that, though, as a rapper, because look what happens. You're working on an album, you're doing some
so spit a verse
shit
off the album.
And then somebody says, hey, that's man, what next week you have to be here. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, but
and
listen,
then you have to, like, you got four
I
or five days.
I have a freestyle on my laptop of Biggie on the Wake Up Show.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And he's spitting
the verse from I know
it was from one of the albums, but it wasn't out yet. The album
wasn't
out
yet, and it sounds dope.
And then you hear it on the album, and you're like, "Oh, I've been waiting for this."
And I'm not disappointed. Like, wait, why did he spit one of his out? It was like a little a prelude to the album.
Right. He did that on Flex too, man, and they put it on Wax.
Yeah, yeah. Remember he was rhyming the nervous over. He was rhyming over the Tribe by 12 beat.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
that's why we did it. That's why that scene that you're talking about is the reason we did the cypher.
Yeah. So like, why not just fucking have, I hate when rappers don't have.
Yo, bro.
Just give me something.
I gotta be real with you, man. We put out more content in this era
it's definitely overloaded.
Else.
Yeah.
We putting out freestyles, mixtapes, leaks.
You're
writing for motherfuckers. Like, you know,
here's the thing you're talking about, though. We're not talking about going to every radio station in the world and doing that. We're talking about those. You know, we're talking.
I'm with you.
Like,
I'm
when you come to Hot 97,
you know,
when you go to Shade 45, when you go to spots like
not
that,
not even Hot 97, man. It depends whose show. Not the morning
and then,
show.
And then they get mad.
If you go to Static Selector show on Sirius,
the hip hop joints,
you should fucking rap.
Yeah.
And then the fans hit you on Twitter and say, yo, I heard that rap, man. Like, they really...
even worse.
The fans will hit you by
They cook you like, yo, I heard that.
You can't pay attention to that.
And then if you freestyle, they don't know what freestyling sounds like anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So they think it's whack.
Exactly.
Because they're like, oh, no, but that's not written.
And you were killing
it. That's your fault if you're listening to Twitter.
And you were killing it.
Like, you're killing yourself.
Now, I'm just playing this. We got to wrap up. I'm just going to play this to set pressure out there. I want to send pressure. Start putting pressure on Sway to get Sway up here.
Yeah, what's happening, man?
We gotta get Sway up here.
See, that would be someone who could be with you guys on setting this platform. I don't know what this platform is gonna be. Is it gonna be on radio? Is it gonna be on internet? Some sort of platform, man, that gives people the incentive to want to be dope, because they don't want to be dope right now. Shit is whack, horrible.
But at the same time, I think there are more good artists that exist right now than maybe any other time. If you, there may be other whack shit too
not
much that fills
any
it up.
Time, in any, and maybe in the last 15 years, but not
certainly
any time.
15 years,
bro. 1994, 1995. I know, like, a lot of people were like, "Stop sweating the '90s and all that." Fuck that, man.
There's a lot of good shit.
There was amazing
shit.
Like, you put on Hot 97 at 2 p.m. and you'd hear like fucking J-Ru, Come Clean, or Blase, or some shit like that, and it was just like,
your Come Clean actually did blow up. That's fast.
That's
I'm trying
crazy.
To plan my birthday party now.
Okay, April
and. My wife's like, how are we going to do this? You're going to do a public one, friends? I'm trying to figure it out. But I want to do some kind of party where it's 90s college radio music.
Dope.
Like, I want Riz,
but you really,
Stretch.
And you want shit like this playing?
I can't hear
it. Just Come Clean.
Come Clean.
Yeah. But not even
but this
like,
was like, nah, this was almost mainstream.
Yeah,
in
I want
that
even,
world.
I want like the Buck Wild episode, like those remixes that we have and fucking... underground shit.
The fact that this was ever in any way commercial, and it wasn't commercial.
There's not like a fucking keyboard sound on this shit. It's just, this is raw.
There was no keyboard sounds. That wasn't until Swizz came.
Swizzy.
I mean, West Coast had keyboard sounds.
Oh, man.
But New York was.
That's
was
the reason
no,
why I love doing this.
There wasn't even no real instruments
that's
on
the reason
shit.
Why I love doing what I'm doing with you. because I come up from an era where people were using hella too many instruments.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everything was a big fucking thing.
Like, early days, everybody was figuring it out, man.
Yeah. Battle Cat, dog. I'm like one of the first kids to really bring him to Snoop.
I'm excited for Kendrick, what's man. At the Grammys, I'm excited. I had a long conversation with Ali last night,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just it just it's so awesome, man. Because he got to take home at least a couple. And you can't be up for 11 and not win.
Now, just for the record, I'm calling it right now. Whether you care or not, I do believe Kendrick won Album of the Year.
I'm on the Grammy committee now, so I got to vote, and that felt good. And I paid $70 to get it there in time, because knowing me, I waited till last minute, and they were like, you have to turn in tomorrow.
It just
happened. I went to FedEx, it was $70 overnight, the piece of paper.
So I'm sure
the piece of paper cost $70.
Yeah, I remember when it was like $15 overnight something. It's $70 overnight.
Now, how much work did you have to get to become a voter?
The last couple of years, you got to be an actual musician.
You got to have credits. You got to have certain credits.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had it. I could do it.
So you don't do it.
I think it's 10 releases, like 10 commercially released.
How much does the Grammys matter?
A lot. Because
I'm not talking about bumps and record sales and more buzz and more media.
As a musician,
I'm saying, as a real artist,
as a musician,
does the Grammys matter?
That's the same as the Oscars and all
Jigga
that.
Jigga, man, you rich, take that do-rag off. Remember he wore a do-rag to the Grammys? Yeah. I don't know. I went last Grammys I went to, I went with M. I had a Long Beach hoodie on, and people looking at me strange. I'm like,
I remember
fuck
that. I remember
shit.
That.
But that's awesome.
Well, you know what?
That's what I want to do, wear a hoodie to the fucking Oscars and the Grammys.
Exactly. That's amazing. You know what? I talked to M about the Kendrick nominations, and I can't put words in his mouth, obviously, but he seemed like he doubted if they would give him Album of the Year. Not because he doesn't deserve it, but he was telling me all the stories of people who've been snubbed for that, who had amazing albums in hip hop.
Well, because M knows, because M wins. He knows the deal.
Yeah, so he was like, yo, man, I just really want him to get that. I really want him to get that.
I was heated because, M, if he can be up for something, he's usually up for it. And Detroit versus Everybody would have been up for rap collabo by Gru or Dupe. Duo or Group.
You did that record,
in
case you
So wondering. I was like, oh, I'm like, I was amped. And then they changed the category this year to rap sung collaboration. Because that's how R&B hip hop is now, that there's a category, rap sung collaboration.
Instead of rap duo or group.
Yeah, and it would have been up because, yo, it's Big Sean, Eminem. That would have been up.
Oh yeah, and it's M.
Yeah, and
you had it at M.
It's almost platinum, man. This shit, I got my plaque for that.
Me too, dog. I love it.
Yeah, I bet you did. That's your
dog. Plaques on the wall, and I never had a radio hit. You hear me? I got plaques hanging on the wall. Yo, it's possible. A lot of rappers don't think it's possible. A lot of up-and-coming guys, they're like, they think that they have to do this, do that, do that. No, you don't. You can make a living in this fucking industry, being yourself, doing your own music, you can make a living, man.
Hey, well, listen, speaking of which, guys, the name of the album?
Static King, man. It's a group, man.
And it's going to be out on February 12th.
Yes, sir, man.
You know what? I have my only regret so far with the Static King thing is I wish we never even, told nobody. And just dropped it as Static King without no pictures, no explanation, nothing.
Yeah.
And just put it out and let people figure it out. Because the way Prime got branded, that's what we're going for. But it's automatically with this one, it was I was going to websites and it was Crooked Eye produced by Static Selecta.
Not what you want. You want
but
to be
Prime,
a
somehow they got away with doing that with Prime where it didn't say that.
So whatever you want it to actually be, there's too many stupid people.
They're gonna write what they want.
Yeah, they don't.
No, but I will
it,
tell
man.
You this. I'm gonna actually blame you guys partially for this.
Okay.
It's also partly the name Static King, which is so easy to separate. If you guys were called Shmagegi and that was it, people will be forced to be like, "Yo, this is new music from Shmagegi."
That's
Shmagegi.
The next album.
Shmagegi.
All right. Robbie Shmagegi.
Schmach? I'll take some of that Schmach. That commercial.
Thank you. I'm ending right here. That's me and my wife's favorite. We talk about that every day. Culture Schmolchmore.
Yeah. You want some schmach? I'll take some of that schmach.
So have you ever seen it?
Nah.
So I have no clue what you're talking
hold
about.
Hold on, hold on. Real quick. There are all these cable commercials right now with all the crew. The whole Christopher Guest movie crew is in all of them.
Oh, yes.
Christopher Guest is Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show.
It's a movie. The movies, a lot of the movies.
Mockumentary.
You know the fuck.
You'd recognize all of those.
You know Best in Show? No. Where they're all trying to get to the dog show. They're all from different states.
Nope.
I promise you'll recognize all.
Is it a TV show?
No, movie.
It's movies.
Movies. And if you see it, you'll know.
Yeah, you'd see them all and you go, I know that person, that person. So it's like they're sitting around the table and that's he goes, I think we should just say Cable Schmable. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, yeah. If you add an SH in front of something, it makes it sound like cool, like it's not a big deal. And then this guy goes, cold sore, cold schmore. And like you see that he has like a cold sore. And then this, and then the drunk woman, the woman who's always drunk and all of them, she's like, Scotch schmotch. He goes, I'll some of that schmotch. Schmank you. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Great DJ? Marketing.
What do you say?
Is that the one with the DJ?
That's another one.
That's the other one. Yeah, Mike DJ. In the basement. Like, yo, yeah.
Who?
What?
Yo. Yeah, and someone just told
me DJs on the weekends.
Yeah, on the weekends.
And someone just told me he's from he works at Power 106 or something. The DJ in the basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yo, I got a question for you guys before we get out of here, man. What the fuck can Static King do to really be impactful in your world? Like what? Like, is there something that can
be done?
Snuff
a rapper.
Impactful in my, it's already going to be impactful in my world.
That's what, well, I mean,
you talking about Hot 97? Because I don't work here anymore.
You don't work here no more.
No, I'm an illegal immigrant right now.
Don't tell Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
He's gonna build a wall in front of the Hot 97.
By the way, they announced the new GM today. By the way,
who's that?
It's a guy from Indianapolis who already worked for the company.
Oh,
so not shocking that they ended up putting one of their own guys, which I knew would event, you know, what is likely to happen, because when Dion, our old GM, was here, he came over in the BLS deal.
Yeah.
So I knew eventually at some point they'd probably put in one of their own guys. Seemed like a nice guy, though. Anyway, so
GM Schmiem.
Anyway, so you're already in my world. You mean
like, yeah, you know what I mean, dog. Like,
shouldn't your goal, in my opinion.
Okay.
You already know your goal. Your guy's goal should be to be just like Prime. I hate to say it, not musically, but in terms of success, isn't that the ideal? Like, be able to sell a good amount of records and
good.
Tour?
They did good.
Yeah.
What'd they sell? Did they end up close to 100,000?
No, I don't think it was that much, but they did, the first impact week they was did dope. Like, I think they did like 13, 14,000 first week.
But don't even worry about first
was
week
dope
for them.
Because then they end up doing festivals and going overseas.
And their next album will be anticipated.
Exactly.
People will expect that the next one has to mean something. Yeah. So that's what
I think.
So
maybe we should beef with Prime, bro.
I love that idea.
That's actually a great, we might have to do that.
Prime Schmrime.
Yo, from now on, when people bring them up, it's like Prime Schmrime. Primo Schmrimo.
You can't really do that with Royce's name.
We're like the drunk, yo, we're the drunk Prime. Because Prime is like so, you know, Prime has his drinks here and there, but Royce is like raps about being
sober
every 5 seconds.
Yeah, they're sober.
Well, no, but you know why?
Well, yeah, we don't get out like that.
They're both lunatics.
I was there for his third DUI.
What'd you say?
I was there when like he got locked up for his
third
one.
Well, that's my point.
This is Static King.
Right there.
Yeah. Actually, that one surprised me.
No, that's because both of you guys.
You just drank that on the air.
This is a pocket rocket, we call it.
Oh, you just get that right now?
He just drank that. That's pretty alcoholic.
That is pretty alcoholic.
I've never done that like the way he just did that. That was next level.
Like, I thought he was sipping on mouthwash or something.
This is Static King right here, man.
A little mini bottle of Jack in the pocket.
No, I'd have like a ginger ale bottle just full of Hennessy.
No, but for the record, the reason you guys are able to do that is because you guys can drink and you're doing it socially to perform, and then that's it. Royce, we know what his issues are, well documented.
Right.
Primo, he's either doing nothing or he's like, I tell you about the time I did crack.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're like, yo, Primo,
just talking about that.
That's the truth, dog.
He's so loose
with that.
Oh, he'll tell you. Like, yo, I was fucking a porn bitch. I'm smoking crack. That's my favorite thing about Primo. He's talking about
like last week.
Love you, Primo. All right, guys. Good luck with the album.
Like, there's one time I went to the mall and my cousin's aunt was there. And she was like, yo, you want to go for a walk? And then, like, the end of the story ends like, yeah. And then Mass Appeal came out.
And we smoked crack.
Yo, sidebar, real quick. I was in Houston. They said you went to this party. Or you were in Houston or something. I was in Houston. There's this party Thursday nights, all vinyl. Vinyl.
Yeah, I wanted
so
to go to that
Waxaholics.
Party. Yeah.
Shout to Ozzy. Shout to Demo. I went there with Michael Che just to hang out. I was so fucking wrapped up. I got on for like 30 minutes, yo.
With other people's records?
Yeah, which I hated. I'm going to get a Crate of Records and fly back to Houston.
Well, so why don't they book us for
to
it?
Do this
can,
party.
We go, can we do it together? Juan at Peru?
The club is smaller than this room.
I don't care. It's worth it.
I think we'd have to volunteer to go.
Pay for everything. Yeah, maybe donate, put on the party.
Donate our services. Okay. But I want to shout those guys out. There was heavy Wanep fans in there, so thanks for listening.
Hey, guys, Crook, Static, thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Good luck, guys. All right, Wanep, we'll catch y'all next week.